We are busy with a series, Life as a Coach. So we're doing all these things as Janet explained. I'm speaking about the army. So it wasn't my idea, you know. I think Monis and Guys really like the army. So he's like, you have to speak about the army. I'm like, okay, great. Let's speak about the army. But just to give you some short background, you know, after school, I went to the army. So I did my one-year training, or to the military, that's a better word, because I wasn't in the army, I was in the military. And then I studied for 4 years as a physio at Pretoria University, and after that I went to Cape Town, where I worked for 8 years as a physiotherapist in the military hospital. Okay, so I was in the military for about 13 years, which was amazing, and I'm going to give you a bit of background stories, whatever. About that today. One of the things in the military, and I don't know, you've probably watched a lot of war movies, right? Like people go out and they fight and they train and, you know, they have to make their bed. I also had to make my bed like a box and have to get up early in the mornings and have to run around and shoot. I didn't shoot any people, don't worry. But, you know, and you have to have your gun and all those kind of things. So I did all of those kind of things. But what you really need when you're training, you know, what really blessed me is when I got a little package from my mom from home. I had to do like 60 sit-ups to get it, you know, because that's how it worked. But wow, I was encouraged by that little package. You know, I was like, I couldn't wait to open it. What is in there? There was a newspaper now. You know, when you're training, there's no newspapers, and that was the best thing, and, you know, all of those kind of things. And I was never in war, so I've never fought a war, but I can imagine if you're in a war, then you need some encouragement, right? Like, that little package encouraged me so much. I could go on, you know, I'm almost going to say fight the next battle, but do the next training, those kind of things. And in life, and especially for us as believers, we forget that we're actually also in a war, isn't it? I don't know who of you know it, but there's two kingdoms on earth. There's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And often we forget about the fact that there's a kingdom of darkness. We're not thinking about it the whole time, like, where's the darkness? Let's shoot it, you know, let's take it out. I think, you know, we will get overwhelmed by the darkness. But we are thinking that we have to fight keeping Jesus first. We have to fight and bring the light where there's darkness. Because there's people that's in the dark. And even in us, in our minds, there's fights and all of those kind of things. But you can relax and I can relax now. We are not speaking about fighting today. We're speaking about we all need that word of encouragement. No matter the battle that we're in. No matter where we are at. That encouragement is the best thing ever. It's like it just brings life to you. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter who you are. Encouragement is probably one of the best things ever. So what I'm going to share with you today is the thing that encouraged me the most when I was in the military. The thing that helped me the most. Let me say it like that. And I want to bring this word to you today so that it will also encourage you in your work and your walk with the Lord. Okay, is that right? Are you all with me? Great. Okay, so let's start with this. I told Carmen this morning that whatever I've done and where I've been, you know, it's never been because I'm so good at it. It's very interesting. Like, even in the military, you know, just for me to be there, to get to that place where I could study physiotherapy through the military was not because of what I've done or how good I was. I remember going to the interviews as a matric girl. And I'm sitting there, and it's all these guys in the uniforms, like, very intimidating. And I'm sitting there in front of them, and they start to ask me questions, and they're speaking English. And at that stage, I could not speak a word of English. So you can imagine me sitting there, and they're asking me all these questions, and I'll be like, What is that in English? You know, and I had a very Afrikaans English, you know, like, so it was terrible, you know, and I'm thinking back now, I'm like, how did they, you know, accept me into the military? You know, sitting there and I couldn't speak English. I don't know what physio was about. God knows. You know, he has a way. And I remember the day they phoned me and they said to me, listen here, you got placed in the military. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And will you please let us know in a half an hour if you're coming or not? Okay? So that's like typically military, you know, you have to jump like this. Are you coming or not? It would have been easy or more easy, I think, if I didn't hear that morning that I got placed in res in Stellenbosch as well. So not only did I have to decide, am I going to the military or not? I had to decide, am I going to Stellenbosch to study or am I going to the military? Okay, so I was confused. I was like, what must I do? You can think I'm like walking up and down in the house. I have half an hour to decide, am I going to the military or not? And my dad came from work, and I ran up to him, and I said to him, Dad, they just phoned. This is a story. What must I do? You know, and he looked at me, and he asked me, did you pray about it yet? I'm like, of course. You know, and I ran into the living room, and I'm praying. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that. And on our piano, there was a little paper. It was like a sweet paper or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And on it said, just do it. You know, just do it. And when I saw that little paper, it was a Nike, it was a sweet paper, so it's pretty funny. Anyways, when I saw that paper, I knew the Lord was speaking to me. In that moment, I knew he was telling me, go to the military. Go to the military, something that you've never thought or dreamed of doing, you know, something that you really have to trust me with. It's like you're stepping out in something that you don't know, you have to trust me with it. So I got onto the bus, I waved goodbye to my mom and my dad, you know, not knowing when I'm coming back or if I'm coming back, one of those moments, with my little bucket and my mop and my... You know, because I said that's what you must bring to the military, because you do a lot of cleaning in the military. And me, as an Afrikaans girl, has never waxed floors. I had to do, you know, I learned so much. It was amazing. But standing there on the bus station with my little mop, you know, what is that in English? Mop. Close. So standing there with my mop and not knowing who's going to pick me up, you know, what's going to happen. But I'm like there, I'm standing, I'm going to the military. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about today is that God is calling us to a place of trust. You know, if there's one thing I've learned through my military experience, if there's one thing I've learned in my life, it is that trust in the Lord. It's not always that easy, is it? Especially there's a few things that we'd rather want to put our trust in. It's one of the verses that has probably spoken to me quite a bit is in Proverbs 3 verse 5, and I'm sure you all know it. It says, lean not on your own understanding. Let me rather keep to my notes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You see, the thing with us and the thing with me is I often want to lean on my own understanding. I don't know who of you have made plans. You know, when I made plans to go study, I was thinking Stellenbosch, I had dreams, I was like, I'm going to get married at 23. You know, you have all these perfect plans set up. But the Lord says, do not lean on your own understanding. Even when I went to the military, I was like, I'm strong, I'm fit, I can do this. Woo-hoo-hoo, you know? Do not lean on your understanding. That means don't make your own plans. Don't rely on your own plans. That means don't rely on your own strength. So many times in my life, I'm thinking, I'm strong enough. I can do this. Just do this, Marichin. You're strong enough. Go for it. Go for it. But it's as if the Lord is telling us and showing us, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own strength. Do you know why? Because it fails. I've been in the military. Yes, have I said that today? And I've seen people that's pretty strong. You know, we had those people, one of the girls, she is like so strong. She could do anything and she's just keep on running and she's just like the most amazing. And we came to the bush and something happened and I saw her standing there shaking, crying, and you could see she's broken. So I've seen strong people like fall away. God is saying to us today, we will not be able to do this in our own strength. We cannot rely on our own strength to do something. We must rely on the Lord. We must trust in the Lord. What else shouldn't we put our trust in? Or what else do we sometimes put our trust in? We sometimes put our trust in idols. Okay, so I talked a bit of idols earlier on. What is an idol? An idol is something that we regard, something in life that we regard higher than God. Okay? So it's easy for us to say, like for me now, no, I don't have an idol. You know, God is first in my life. But then we have to ask our questions, is there something in my life that I cannot live without? Now, I'm not talking about your morning coffee, you know? Something like a person. Something like, you know, the money I have. If I don't have that, I don't know how I would be able to go on. Then that thing is an idol. It was so cool for me. On Friday night, I went to watch some netball, the Premier League netball girls playing here. And I used to love netball, like really love it. And the Lord had to tell me, you know what, you like netball more than you like me. And I had to give that up. I had to say, Lord, for me, I'm a person that either does something 100% or not. So I knew, you know, for me to play netball, I'd get so excited. Like before I play, I'm like, Lord, help me to do the best, you know, what. Then you know that it's about netball now. It's not about the Lord anymore. But when I was watching on Friday night, it was so cool. I was sitting there and I'm like, ooh, my heart is like bouncing. I would love to be on that netball court. But when I thought about it, I was like, Lord, I would rather have what I have now without the netball of the last few years than play in this Premier League. Because that's so much more. And we forget that. You know, when we're stuck in our life and when we're stuck in our things, we often get stuck on things of this world, of idols, and we live for this, and we give all of it. But the Lord is saying, don't trust in that. Why? Because that's going to fade away. The things of this earth is going to fade away. What is going to remain? The Lord. So why do we put our trust in the things of this earth? Why do we trust in people? I'm not saying don't trust in people. You have to trust in people. Believe me, we're in the military. You have to trust in the person standing next to you that is going to be there for you. But I'm speaking about trusting like they're everything to you. If they say yes, it's a yes. You know, if my dad walked into that room and I said to him, look, what must I do, Dad? You know, I was trusting in him to lead me. Praise God for an awesome dad who told me, have you prayed about this? Let the Lord lead you. Trust in him. And the Lord is faithful to do that. One of the guys in the Bible that I really admire is Paul. I don't know if you know Paul. Paul? Saul? It was Saul and then it went to Paul. Am I saying it right? Paul. Paul. I wanted to say there's something wrong with this name. But anyway. So, Paul. Just remind me. Thank you. So, Saul. So he was persecuting the Christians, this guy. Okay, so there was this amazing guy, Stephen, and he stood by while they were stoning him. I mean, he was being killed, and he went after the people, and he killed them. You know, he was persecuting the church, he was putting people in prison and all of that, and then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. All of a sudden, things changed in his life. He literally, as he was walking this way, he started walking that way towards Jesus and not away from him. Not persecuting the church anymore, but actually preaching the gospel. Now, do you know what I love about Paul? Paul? Oh, man. Paul. Thank you, Abby. You know, Abby. Is that before he gave his life to the Lord, he was pretty bad, isn't it? But he trusted in the Lord. That what he has done for him on the cross was enough. to go forward from there. You see, sometimes we think that our past is too big for the Lord. We are unable to trust Him that what He has done for us is enough. And He so much trusted in the Lord that He went and He preached the gospel. And He, you know, there was many persecutions. If you go read Acts, it tells the story of him. But what is so amazing for me is that man went from church to church. And then they would persecute him. And then they would want to kill him. And then they stoned him. And then he raised up. And then what's the first thing he does after he's raised up? He goes and encourages the church again. I'm like, how in the world is this man doing this? Someone says one bad word to me and I'm like, this man is stoned and he stands up and he goes and encourages the church again. Isn't that incredible? But what I really like about him, trusting in the Lord, is when the Holy Spirit said to him, listen here, Paul, oh man, what are we going to do about this? I'm not going to say his name anymore. Listen here, man, okay, I want you to go to Jerusalem. But you are going to have hardship and there's going to be imprisonment. I don't know who of you wants a word like that from the Holy Spirit. Merichan, I want you to go to Durban, but I want to tell you that there's going to be hardship and imprisonment. Lord, isn't there another way? I don't know if I, hearing that word, can still be like, Lord, I trust you. Even if you tell me that there's going to be hardship, even if you tell me that there's going to be imprisonment, that I still trust you to do it. And you know what? The Lord even sent a prophet to him, and he took his own belt, and he tied him up, and he said, this is what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem. You're going to experience hardship. You are going to experience suffering. And Paul said, I'm still going. Why? Why could he say that? Because he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And I want to say to you today, whatever hardship you're going through, you can trust in the Lord. You can rely on the Lord. I'm not saying that this hardship or whatever is going to go away. Paul had to walk through this hardship. He was the one trial after the other. You know, he had how many lashes where they beat him up? And he still trusted in the Lord. In fact, in every trial that he came, he preached the gospel to them. He said, this is who Jesus is. This man raised from the dead. That is why we are here. That is why I'm proclaiming this truth to you. It's because of what Jesus has done for me, but also for you. So no matter where we are at, we can trust in the Lord. Just wanted to say something. You know what? Faith, hope, and trust is very close to each other. Do you agree? But faith, all of you that are here this morning showed faith. Why? Because you know this is a church, and you're like, something is going to preach here. You know, it's about God. There's already a bit of faith in you about God. You believe that there can be a God. If you not believe that God is God, you believe that there can be a God. But you know what? We can believe as much as we want to, but if we don't trust the Lord in surrendering our lives to Him, it doesn't mean much. Because even the demons believe in Jesus. But if we take that step and we say, Lord, I don't only believe that you can do this, I trust in you that even if it doesn't go the way that I thought that this would go, that I can still walk with you like Paul did. Okay. Maybe let me just read the scriptures because I get so excited that I forget to read the scriptures. Just to show you that I'm not lying to you today. In Acts 20, verse 22 to 23, this is what happened to Paul. It says, and now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testified to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. Wow. Incredible, isn't it? You know, when something comes over our path, especially if it's difficult, and we are all humans, and we are in a world that is sinful, so I am sure that a lot of us has experienced difficulties, isn't it? Sufferings. You know, I cannot compare my sufferings in the military of sleeping 4 hours a night and, you know, running and crying and crawling and still having marks in my arms of crawling because we're not allowed to pull our sleeves down. You know, that's a different kind of suffering. But I'm talking about a suffering where you're like, I cannot anymore. I don't understand this, Lord. I don't know why this is happening. I'm talking about someone that gets cancer. I'm talking about a child, like my friend's child, you know, being born, stillborn. You know, that is like, that's a different kind of suffering, isn't it? That is a pain that we experience. That is something where our family falls apart and we don't know what to do. We've all been there. We've all seen those things happening. But you know what? For us as believers, God has given us something. He has given us Himself. And I've realized in my life that no matter the hardship, no matter what happens, that I always have a choice in how I'm going to respond to this. The one way is that I'm totally getting swallowed up in this problem. I'm like, this is too much for me. I actually cannot handle this. I don't know why the Lord is doing this. I feel like I don't have any hope anymore. I feel like I just want to run away. Or my other direction, my other option is to say, Lord, I trust in you. It's not always that easy, is it? To take that step and to say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you. You're sending me to the army. I mean, who goes to the army? Lord, I'm going to trust in you. That you have for me there, it's going to be good. And you know what? Like my friend going through this whole thing with her baby, you know, being born not alive. It's not like she's saying, yeah, the Lord is good, and she's rejoicing and amazing, and that's showing that she's trusting in the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be the most happiest person in your difficult times. That's not it. It means that you trust in the Lord no matter what. In other words, Lord, I'm crying. Lord, this is painful. I'm not going to hide the fact that this is difficult for me right now. But you know what, Lord? I still trust you. And I can still cry out to you and say, Lord, why? Why, Lord? I don't understand it, but Lord, will you show me? Will you give me grace, Lord? Will you give me strength to walk through this time that's so difficult? That's not very easy either. That's the other thing I learned in the military, that we have people around us. You see, in the military, when you run, when you get there and you're very fit, you think you're going to run on your own. And if they say run, you go ahead and you come back, and we come back, the people are still coming and they're like, where's your friends? You think you can do this on your own? Oh, there you go again, you know, type of thing. You very quickly learn that you're there for each other. You have to help each other. If you are not there for each other, you all suffer in a way. And you learn that you have to use it. You help someone now, like with the inspections, we had this girl, it was too much for her. You know, making that bed, it was just too much. She couldn't do it. She would start stressing and what. And so we would come and we'll make a bed for her every day until she was relaxed and she could actually start making her own bed. Sounds funny, but it's quite a mission to make that bed, okay? In the same way, we had this one guy in the bush. We did a lot of training there. And this one guy, David, he was amazing. He would always encourage us. And he's always singing, you know. He taught us a lot of songs. And he was just so cool and helped us so much. And here we are in the bush. And this man needs to do something. And we can see he cannot anymore. He's broken in a way. He's tired. He has no strength to do this. Do you know what was so cool for me? That we started crawling next to him and we said, David, you can do this. David, we love you. Come on, David. We started singing the songs that David always sang. And the next moment, it's not like David's like, yeah, I'm feeling much better. Let's do this, you know. But David starts crawling. David starts crawling until we come to the end. God has given us body of believers. You know what? I want to be there for you. I cannot always hold your hand in every situation, but when things are going tough, then we can pray for each other, and we are there for each other to encourage each other and to be there. And in difficult times, my friend going through that difficult time, I have never seen the church operate in such a significant way as supporting that family. They have a beautiful baby now again. And they're just living for the Lord. And it's really incredible to see what God is doing in their lives. But you know what happens when we choose to trust the Lord? Instead of choosing to trust in this bad situations and getting overwhelmed by it, you know, sometimes when we do that, we get so depressed. I don't know if you've experienced that. And we start to feel so sorry for ourselves, you know. And the Lord is like, are you just taking me out of this equation completely? But when we trust in the Lord, people around us that don't know the Lord, they see that. Doesn't matter if your eyes are red, crying. Doesn't matter how you're looking. It's about your testimony, saying, you know what, this is difficult. I'm not going to lie to you, but you know, I trust in the Lord. I still trust in the Lord. Like my friend, you know, I don't know why this happened. And I had to go through a whole thing because I don't know why this happened. But you know what, I still trust in the Lord. I still know that His ways is much higher than my ways. I still know that He has a plan with this. And if it doesn't look like I want it to look, I'm still going to trust in Him. And you know what? People get in awe of who is this God that you're trusting in no matter how bad it's going with you. People start asking questions. When it's going bad to them, with them, they're like, listen, yeah, you had something happening for you when you're going through that difficult situation. And more than that, when they go through that difficult situation, you can go and say, listen, yeah, can I just pray for you? I know it's difficult. But I really just want to be there for you. God is not confused about where we are at or what is happening in our lives. My question this morning is, are you at a place where you're trusting God or you're trusting the other things? Are you at a place where you're trusting in idols and the things of this world, or you're trusting in Him and His strength and who He is? Are you trusting and looking at the circumstances? Or He's saying, Lord, I surrender to You. I know that You can do all things. Amen? When I was in primary school, in church, I loved church. I went there as often as I could. I don't know if I really ever understand what they were saying, but I just loved going there. And there was this couple in church, an older couple, elderly couple. My English is getting better, I'm telling you. They were in church, and they had their little grandchildren in the church also that would come and visit them over weekends. And this family stayed in Stellenbosch, and I loved watching them. You know how kids are? You get something to distract you, you know, while you're in church, and you're watching these kids, and they are too cute and so on. And a few weeks later, we hear that this elderly couple's son and daughter and the grandkids and the lady that worked for them was murdered in Stellenbosch. So the whole family in one day was murdered. And for me, that was hectic as a child, you know. I'm like, I saw those children, you know. I saw how cute they were, and I really enjoyed watching them in church and so on. And now you're telling me that this whole family has been murdered. And So you can imagine that it's a bit devastating. And my dad in that stage was an elder in the church, so we went to visit them quite a few times. And I'll never forget it, how this elderly couple, they were really sad, you can imagine. They lost, you know, four of their family in one day. But they were sitting there and they said, you know what? We trust in God. And me, as a little girl, this was phenomenal for me. Like, I still cannot forget it. How that couple is sitting there and they say, you know what? We even forgive the guy that did this. Because we trust in God that his ways is so much higher than our ways. And I'm going to tell you, that couple had such a huge impact on my life in how they reacted to the pain and the suffering in their lives impacted me until this day. Where they trust the Lord to forgive. When the Lord says forgive, they said, Lord, you know, it's so difficult to forgive, but if you say so, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to do it. But that story, that testimony today has changed me as I've walked my road with the Lord. That whenever I went through tough situations, what did I do? Now, how can I complain about what's going on? Lord, I trust in you. I've learned this when I was a little girl, that Lord, that you forgive, but you, when you say something, that I can trust in you. Amen? Amen. I almost said something to me, but just because you look so beautiful this morning. Okay. Just to bring us back to who do we trust in, guys? Because you know what? We forget who the one is that we trust in. I want to remind us just quickly before we go home and eat our cake. I hope you have cake. Never mind. So before we go home, who do we trust in? We trust in God. And I want to share this testimony, the scripture with you. 1 Timothy 16, verse 15 to 16. Speaking about God here, he says, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. You know, sometimes when we look at God, we look at him as the good father, and believe me, he's good. But we forget about this mighty God who in a moment can wipe us away, who lives in unapproachable light. I love that song. It says, the Lord is, its glory is the sun, like a candle to the sun, something like that. I'm like messing up the song completely now. But God is enormous. He created everything. He can do anything and anything he wants to do. And then me, little human, come and say, no. We cannot even approach God because of this light that is among him. Who's this God also? John 3:16, and we all know it so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. She agrees. This God is big and powerful, but this God that is so big and so powerful and created everything loves you. And we forget that, especially in the sufferings. This God loves you, and if he loves you, and if he sent his son for you to die for you on the cross, guess what? He has better plans that you know of. That even if stuff happened and my whole family dies in one day, the Lord has better plans. Who knows? Marichan must hear the story so that she can tell how many other people about this so that they can trust in the Lord. And those people have spoken on the radio and they have glorified God's name. How many people got to know Jesus through them? This God is incredible. His ways are higher Father, help us to trust in you, no matter our circumstances, that you can use it for the good, for other people to see you, for your kingdom to expand. Because what? If Jesus comes back, I want you to come with me. I don't want to be when Jesus comes back and say, but I was feeling so sorry for myself about things that happened in my life and fell into the depression. But said, Lord, I trusted in you and people saw you and they came to you. Amen? I'm getting excited. Okay. Who is God also? He is Jesus. Who is Jesus? And I'm going to read this to you and I want you to imagine this. The other day I read something and I said, no, this is not really how Jesus looks like. But I've heard testimonies of people seeing this Jesus. This is Revelation 1 verse 12 to 18. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of this lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs on his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in the furnace, and his voice like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he had seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand on me and saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the everlasting one. I died and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. This is our King. Brilliant. You know what? If Jesus walks in here, I feel like I'll die. Because of who he is, because of his glory, because of that fire in his eyes. And when he speaks, it's like roaring. I think like my hair would go like that. I will fall at his feet as dead, as John did. But what does Jesus do? He comes and he touches him. Lord, you're touching me? And he says, fear not. Fear not. I am the beginning and the end. I have conquered death. I've conquered death. Do you believe that today? I've conquered death. That is who I am. Isaiah 40 was, well, the whole Isaiah 40 is about Jesus. You can go read it. But I like this part. It says, behold, the Lord God comes with might and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Again, this magnificent picture about who Jesus is that rules, but then this gentle shepherd that cares and carries those. What an incredible picture. Are you serving that Jesus today? Is he bigger than your circumstances? Or is your circumstances taking more attention than he is? Who is the Lord also? He is the Holy Spirit. I love teaching about the Holy Spirit and Encounter One. Why? Because we watched that video of how the Holy Spirit came into the upper room and it's just wind and it's crazy and it's magnificent. And then this fire appears on people. And then there's another scene where the disciples are praying and the place is shaken. And that Holy Spirit is where? In me. God has given you that Holy Spirit, he says, to teach you and to lead you into all truth. What? We don't get this. That Holy Spirit is living inside of us. God has given us this Holy Spirit. That is who we are. We are children of God. We don't have to do this alone, guys. He has given us the Holy Spirit to walk with him, to have strength in him, to not rely on our own stuff, but say, Holy Spirit, you know what? This is stuff, but will you help me? Because that's why you've been sent, is to help me. I want to end off with this verse in encouragement. It's Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and this church was messing up. You know, I just did a whole study on this, but they were messing up. But when I look at it, I'm seeing that actually what they are doing, we're also doing it. So easy to judge the people in the Bible. But then I realized, oops, we're pretty much there also. I wonder if we would respond like they did if someone writes a letter to us in rebuking us and correcting us in our sin. But he ends it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, he tells them about the resurrection of Christ, and he says to them why we believe in Jesus is because he's conquered the death. And then he ends off with this verse. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. When I read that verse, I was like, I want to send it to everyone in ministry. I want to tell them, you know what? Your labor is not in vain. But what I realized was, he didn't write it to the leadership or the pastors in the church. He wrote it to the church, to every member. In other words, he was saying, you know what? When you trust in the Lord, it's not in vain. When you work for the Lord, whatever you do, whenever you share your testimony, when you come to church, when you help out, when you pray for people, it's not in vain. We forget that what we're doing is not in vain. We get so stuck in our now life that we don't know that there's eternity. God is coming. And I want to encourage you today, be strong in the Lord, immovable, unshakable. Why? Because it's not in vain. If I can just leave you with that word today, it's not in vain. Don't give up. Don't go that way and trusting in the other things. Take that step and say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you because I know it's not in vain. Maybe write it on your closet door. It's not in vain. Fighting the battles every day, not doing this thing that I've been caught in for sin, it's not in vain. Jesus' way is much higher. It's much higher. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that this morning we know as a people and as your children, Lord, that we cannot do anything. And Father, that's okay. Because your word says that in our weaknesses, Lord, that your strength is made perfect. Thank you, Lord, that this morning that we don't have to boast in what we can do and our abilities and our strengths and all those things, Father, but that we can boast in Jesus because it's because of Jesus that we can do what we do, Father. And Lord, being part of your church, being part of this army, I want to say, Lord, we know, Father, that it's all about you, but we also know, Lord, that the work that we are doing is not in vain. Every prayer I pray, Lord, for this country, it's not in vain. Lord, everything that happens in this church, it's not in vain. But thank you, Lord, this morning that you're also saying that you are our strength. You are the one that is there for us, and you are longing for us to come and say, Lord, I want to trust in you with all my heart. But Lord, I cannot. It's so difficult, Lord, to trust you with all my heart. But will you help me? And I feel there's people today that saying, just how in the world must I do this? How in the world do you want me to trust the Lord? Do you know my circumstances? Do you know what I've been through? You know what? In that place, we can say, Lord, help me. I remember running in the army and so tired and I couldn't anymore. And I prayed and I said, Lord, please, can you just not let them, you know, I want to say torture, but it's not the right word. You know, not keep us busy tonight because I need to sleep. And I prayed that twice in the military and both those evenings we didn't. They didn't come. They didn't do stuff to us that evening. The Lord is faithful. Like even in small things like that, he gives us rest and he gives us strength and he's there, but sometimes we just miss it because we're so focused on the problems. If you're here this morning and you need some strength, not human strength, because we just talk about that we're not trusting in human strength, but we're trusting in God. I just want to read this over you, and I want to proclaim it. The Lord says we should proclaim His word, we should trust in His word, and so we're going to do it. If you're that person, I just want you to stand. I'm just going to proclaim scripture over us. Proclaim the strength of the Lord over us. Proclaim His faithfulness over us. For what He has done, for who He is. Your Father, thank You, Lord, for every person standing. Thank You, Lord, it's not by works, it's not by power, but it's by Your Spirit. And this morning we trust You, Lord. We trust You through Your Spirit to come do a work in us, to strengthen us, because we know we cannot do this, Lord. Father, we just proclaim this word over every person. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Thank you, Lord, this morning that we can trust in You. Thank You that You help us in that. And because of that, we will not grow weary. We will hope in You, Jesus. We will be a people that hope in You no matter the circumstances. Lord, strengthen us. Help us to be witnesses for You, for Your kingdom to come, and for Your name to be glorified above everything else. In Jesus' name.